Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think somewhere we all have this version of self-sabotage, and like somewhere deep down, I think it's some weird control thing that my life sometimes feels so out of control and everyone else controls my narrative and what's happening that, you know, it's the version when people, I hate to say this, but have things that, you know, they do to themselves that are harmful. And I think perhaps me not drinking water subconsciously is a form of...
Welcome back to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel great emotionally, and I'm just going to say this real quick, and I want to preface this and disclaim it by saying, like, I'm actually asking you, you don't have to reach out to me. You don't have to be supportive of me. You don't have to say a thing to this. Like, I'm not fishing for a compliment or like an outpouring of support. I'll be okay. That being said, I have made a point to like not look at my reviews, and I hadn't in months, but I'm like, just peek over there one time. And one of the reviews was talking about them not liking my voice. And to which I'm like, what do you want me to do to that? You know, like at what point do our critiques are just like mean? You know, a podcast is an incredibly, voluntary action, like listening to a podcast, right? There's one of the things that we have in our lives that we have control over, whether or not we want to consume somebody else's podcast or their content or whatever. Like, that is a choice that we have. One, like I said, one of the very few ones that we do, just like outright with no condemnation from anybody else. Like, you do not have to listen to anybody's podcast. You don't have to look at their Instagram. You don't have to do it. Like, deadass, you literally do not. And so you say that you don't like my voice when there's quite literally nothing I can do about that. I guess I'm just wondering, at what point do we go from like, you know, like actual critique that is worthwhile and something I can work with, or something that just makes me feel bad? And now I'm like, I was sitting here not wanting to record. And I hate that because I am usually a very bad bitch. And I'm like, I shouldn't have read the podcast. I shouldn't have read the reviews. That was not me. I should not. That was a lesson learned. But also, it's also a lesson in like, quite literally, what do you want me to do about that? Like, if you don't like my voice, just don't listen to my podcast. You don't have to warn people, the listeners, about it. They have ears. That's kind of the point. That's what we're doing here. And so like, if they don't like it, they'll get it. They also will not listen to it. Like, you don't need to tell them. So, you know, I'm working really hard. I'm not. I'm going to stop. Okay? I'm going to stop. I just, sometimes you got to let things out before we can move on. And so I'm going to move on. How are we? How are you? I hope you're better than I'm doing. Welcome to another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, reporting live from the non-racist portion of the 1830s. Now I'm going to tell you, y'all's friend came out with her, what I heard was a double album. Congratulations to those of you who enjoy it, because it seems like even for a Taylor fan, a Swiftie, it's mixed. What I'm giving is a reaction is mixed. I have not listened to one lick of this album. However, I did hear the part about her saying that let's go back to the 1830s, the parts that aren't racist. I'm sorry, is this House Queen? I have 15 questions right off the bat. Why was Jack Antonoff in the room for this? Like, I don't really know what that means, if he was or he wasn't. I'm just curious. That's just like a question. It's going to fill out the picture for me. How much discussion was that? I know that there has to be one conversation that was had in the studio about this specific line. And just let me know when it comes out in a documentary, like, because that's all I need to know. I actually Googled what happened in the 1830s. And I'm trying to find, because I know like 98% of it has to be racist. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on here? Railroads in America. The rise of Queen Victoria, probably racist, probably some racism's all up and through, all down the railroads from coast to coast. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I would imagine. The only thing that I could find that maybe might be a clue into what the fuck Taylor Swift was talking about was that in 1839, at the very last year, your boy Edgar Allan Poe published The Fall of the House of Usher. And I thought, okay, that's a tortured poet, right? Like, maybe that's what she's talking about. Other than that, like, y'all are on your own. What? Y'all, so much happened on Monday. Like, it felt like I could not catch my breath. Every 17 and a half minutes, somebody from Bravo or somebody in the real world or reality TV world was coming down with some breaking news. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What the hell is going on? Robin fired. Crystal possibly fired. Candace, we knew, leaving. Also, bun in the oven. What else happened? Oh, Jen and Ryan? Was that the same? I don't know. Every guy in Real Housewives of Orange County in the past 8 years has been named Ryan, except for John Jansen. They got engaged. So many things happened, but I think the biggest story for me was that Alexia and Todd are divorcing down to the Real Housewives of Miami. Now, if y'all don't watch Miami, you're lost. I don't know what to tell you, but Todd and Alexia are kind of mom and dad in a Miami way, which is to say not great, and you really shouldn't be taking any sort of advice from them whatsoever. Personally, Todd has been a slick willy since I laid eyes on him at first. And I'm like, okay, girl, if you like it, I love it. Frankly, out of the relationships that we've known Alexia to be in, the marriages anyway, this is maybe the one that makes the most sense. So, like, God bless you, girl. Now, what I want to know is, did Alexia scroll all the way down to MiamiDade.gov like the rest of us and find out that he filed 4 days prior, or did she know at some point in that 4 day window before it hit the news? That's what I'm wondering. I'm really, really wondering. So Alexia did go on to Instagram stories, as you know, all the greats do, and was like, I'm shocked and heartbroken that Todd has chosen to dissolve our marriage. I am a little bit too, girl. I will take comfort in the fact that my friends and family will be by my side supporting me during this difficult time. Now, I'm like, am I surprised that Todd filed? Yes and no. No. Well, no, I think I'm just going to say no, because he does have that, the audacity that other men have had when they have filed. Ralph, you know, Drew over in Atlanta. That sort of attitude, the machismo, the like, I know it all kind of attitude. And it's like, what do you actually do for work? And he doesn't want to answer that. And he's just like in an office somewhere being misogynistic and like threatening to beat up your son. So I don't know, like the relationship just didn't really seem loving or end game to me. But I also don't know if that would be possible for Alexia. God bless her. I just feel like, you know, those girls in Miami, Orange County, New York, even where it's so like the men have these like, it's just like misogyny central. You just don't expect people to be like in true love. You know what I mean? I don't anyway. So I'm not like to say for Alexia to be allegedly blindsided by this whole situation is kind of odd to me. And that she thinks that maybe he kept her in the dark because she would have tried to talk him out of it. Like, I don't know. That is very odd to me. I mean, no, it's not. The more that I think about it, I'm like, no, I do see why Alexia would absolutely want to keep up appearances and try to make this work. But I mean, let's be real. Last season, he didn't want to show up allegedly because Adriana said something about him. And come to find out, he and Adriana were kikiing in the lobby of their apartment that same evening that he was ducking and dodging her. And he was telling her that they have trouble in their relationship and that there are money issues in their relationship. Let's be real. We all knew that Adriana was right. And it was just a matter of time before all of that came to fruition. The stuff with the apartment was very weird. They just got kicked out very suddenly. And he had this weird, like, I don't like to buy property because it's a waste of money and it doesn't go anywhere. But well, the math was not mathing with me. So while I do feel like Alexia is probably feeling like she took an L because he filed, I actually think this is probably a blessing in disguise for her, because probably whatever is going on with him financially has just never felt right to me. So honestly, like, he's probably doing her a favor. So the can I get a hell yeah might be to Alexia for being free. Be free. Be free, girl. Because, like, no shade, him being like, I'm going to knock Peter's ass out like he deserves is one thing. But talking about Alexia and how she is raising Frankie, I felt like was like dark. Like him being like, you're not a good mother. I don't know. It was giving, remember in Potomac when that Gollum, Michael Darby, told Ashley before they started having kids that he didn't want to have a child with her because he was afraid that she was going to be like her mama. And yet she laid up with a man and had two kids with him. And is still rubbing his feet every night to this day. May wonders never cease. Speaking of really fucked up family dynamics, y'all know that every couple of months I keep you up to date as to what's going on with what should have been our beloved nice 90s R&B crooner from the 90s, Brian McKnight, is now like an absolute fucking demon. This man. Last we left this man, it was October of last year. He announced that his 9-month-old son on Instagram, he was introducing him, right? I am so proud to introduce our son, Brian Kainoa Makoa Jr., to the world with the release of my new album, lovingly created for him, Jr., because I am also proud to officially announce that I've legally changed my name to exactly match my legacies. My legal name is now Brian Kainoa Makoa McKnight Sr., McKnight Time Lullabies, the songs of a father to his namesake, available now. Now, I will remind you guys that Brian McKnight Sr., already had a Brian McKnight Jr. in his first child, his adult son, Brian McKnight Jr. But whatever Brian McKnight Sr. and OG Jr.'s middle names were, it wasn't Kainoa Makoa. Okay? It wasn't that. The man is sick. He is completely acted like his second family. You know what? It would be better if he just acted like they didn't exist. He acts like they were actually like an issue for him. So he did an Instagram live, like a Q&A Instagram live, and he said that he does not claim the first set of children because they're a quote product of sin. He's got four kids, Brian Jr., Nico, Brianna, and Clyde, okay? Because some relatives can be pure evil. Somebody commented, in order to live a life that you love, you have to get rid of the evil and negativity, even if that evil and negativity is related to you. And Brian responded, I want to big up my man right there. He gets it. Ah! So obviously somebody with some goddamn sense responded and is like, excuse me. What are you talking about? Because if you're talking about like loving God and doing Christ-like things and you abandoning your four children and starting back at one with another family is not giving, okay? And so he said, one, God wasn't talking about children that are a product of sin, which these are. And two, I didn't raise them, their mothers did. Three, know the whole story before quoting the Bible. And four, take your inaccurate negativity off of my page and try being happy. You try being happy. It is like sick. Can you just be a bad father? Like, why do you have to go through all of these labels, layers of hell? Why don't you just leave them alone? Why do you have to publicly pronounce and announce to everybody that you have this whole new son that is like 2.0 or whatever the fuck? Not even 1.0, when you're just erasing them. And now it's our problem. And we don't know the whole story because you didn't raise them. And they're a product of sin, all four of them? Well, that's a you problem, not them. You fucked up four times. You sinned that bad four times, according to you. Why is that their fault? That's what I'm questioning. You're weird. That man is, like, very weird. And the fact that why does his wife not find this weird and incredibly off-putting? Why, I mean, not to put the onus on the women, but, like, if I was having children with a guy who already had children and he was like not only denying their existence but calling them products of sin while he sits in his car on an Instagram live with some random person fighting with them about how they don't know the Bible or his life, that, and you want to have children with him? Okay, weird. And she's not even with him during his good era of music. She's with him during Show Me How Your Pussy Works, Brian McKnight. Like, what? Ew. 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 We gotta move on to our headline of the week. This one goes out to the San Francisco Gate, the SF Gate. We might have a true diva down for us all. Red Lobster reportedly considering bankruptcy after an $11 million loss on Endless Shrimp. Now, according to the Thai Union Group, they own Red Lobster. Back in January 2023, Red Lobster caused them to lose $19 million in the first 9 months, so between January and like September, because they did an endless shrimp promotion, right? So there was dwindling, you know, there weren't a lot of people coming in, right? In order to mitigate that, they usually people do sales, right? Shout out to Old Navy. There's a sale every goddamn day. Never buy anything for full price at Old Navy. It'll be on sale for 45% off 15 minutes later. It's never that worth it, you know? Anyway, so in order to get people to come in, they did a $20 endless shrimp deal throughout June of 2023. It did help about 4% growth, but so it only helped about like 8 million, right? So now they reported losses of 11 million. So in order to try to do another promotion, keep people in, but also make some money back, they bumped up the price to $25. So if you guys want to help the economy, like true Americans in this time of crisis, go on over to Red Lobster, get you a Cheddar Bay biscuit and some linguine shrimp and a smile, okay? We have to help our nation's institutions before they crumble, okay? And that's for all of us. It's an election year. A lot of major stories can fall by the wayside during this time, and I just want to make sure that we're keeping apprised of the true important things in life, okay? Okay. So, moving on. More news that came out on Monday was the fact that Rebecca Minkoff, the designer, is going to be joining Real Housewives of New York. We don't know in what capacity, if she's going to be holding an apple or not, but she's definitely been filming with the girls, and that's the tea. No. Because a lot of people were like, why? Why is she on the show? Why, with her associations and her affiliations and the things that she practices, would she be on the show in 2024? And I'm thinking, what are y'all talking about? Uh-oh, she's a Scientologist. Now, I did some research on this. Shout out to Tony Ortega. He is like an investigator of Scientology. He is like, I don't know, to me, the Robin to Leah Remini's Batman, you know, when it comes to this sort of this stuff. But I read this thing. He has a Substack that talked about this. I'll try to remember to link the Substack because it talks about more stuff that gets into Rebecca. And he gave it to you, and I'll report back what I saw, the most piping hot, in my opinion. So Rebecca has a brand. They do like accessories, bags and stuff with her brother, Yuri. They're like a team, you know, chic to people who care about that, whatever, right? So they have a dad named David, Dr. David Minkoff. I don't know if he's a real doctor. Well, he is a real doctor, but he did lose his medical license. He also has a lot of like, you know, odd quack opinions, right? So in 1995, he actually lost his medical license and was fined $10,000 because he was affiliated with the death of a woman named Lisa McPherson. Now, we know the Scientologists don't really love to fix things when it comes to mental health. They just feel like, you know, just grin and bear it or whatever. They don't believe in getting medications and all of that. So there was a woman, a Scientologist named Lisa McPherson. She was having a mental health crisis, a lot of mental, like severe mental health issues. She got admitted into a hospital, but members of the church got her out of the hospital and put her into this hotel, this like Scientology hotel, for almost 3 weeks. She, in the midst of her having this mental breakdown, Dr. David lived about 45 minutes away. Lisa was not his patient. He had never seen anything, like had never met the woman, nothing. But they would call him to be like, hey, she's having this. What kind of medication, what sedative should we give her in this situation? She's, you know, having this kind of episode. What should we give her? So he would just like over the phone prescribe them to tell them to give her whatever the fuck, right? So obviously they kill her. In the very 11th hour, they're like, oh, well, maybe we'll drive her the 40 minutes over to Dr. David. We don't want to take her to a real hospital, but we're sending it to her to see what's going on because we fucked up. But by the time they get there, she's already dead. So he gets in trouble for prescribing the sedatives, which honestly, a slap on the wrist comparatively. And like I said, lost his medical license for a year. So ironically enough, there is a Scientology affiliated organization called the Foundation for a Drug-Free World, which is different from the, what is like the Campaign for a Drug-Free America, deceptive practice. Cause I think a lot of people would think, oh, it's that. No, two different things. So what they do is they try to, you know, sneak in these very valid, we don't want kids doing drugs sort of vibes. And what really they're trying to do is to push Scientology rhetoric into public schools. And so like, that's their real campaign. Now, it's truly ironic to me that considering that the block was hot for your daddy, that you would be in such a campaign to like be fighting, you know, improper use of drugs. When that's exactly, never mind. She also seems to be friends with Danny Masterson. There's a picture of them posing, and it doesn't seem that old. I will say that. I mean, I know he had been in jail for a little bit, but didn't seem that old to me. So there's that. I am very curious it seems like the more we go on, the less vetting is happening with people. And I'm just confused because this is not like uncommon information. And yet, here we are. Who do we think, who are we putting our money on is going to bring this up first? And how are they going to go about it? Because I'm not sure. Will Uba be hot? Will Bryn do it? Aaron? Will Jessel take her notes app out? What's going to happen? Will Jenna? Jenna's not really one to say something into people's faces, but will she say something in a confessional? It's only time will tell. Only time will tell. I have a feeling this is going to be a weird season, y'all. Weird. With that, y'all, we're going to end on the absolute high note that are my notes on Tori Spelling's podcast. This is only going to be episode 4. I know episodes 4 and 5 came out, but I'm in a thing where I'm actually like, it's now my life's fuel. We're only 5 episodes in and I need to save it and savor it. So I haven't watched it because I'm saving it for my like hot girl walk later today, but episode 4 delivered. Okay. It delivered. So this is a story. It's a very long and twisted tale, as all Tori Spelling podcast episodes are, and really her life in general. By the way, her podcast name is Miss Spelling, a little double entendre in celebration of, in wake of, I don't know what you would want to say, but her now recent divorce. So in episode 4, it's a long-winded story about how she passed out. And this is not the first time, of course. Why would it ever be the first time for Tori? She says that she doesn't drink water, never has, doesn't like it. Her friends are always telling her, you know what, your 30s would have been very different if you had just drank water in your 40s. Also, your 50s. She said when she passed out, I won't get into how every episode she's traumatizing the fuck out of her oldest daughter, Stella. We won't get into it. I'll save that part for you to listen to it. But Stella did get into the ambulance with her and Tori is out of it. She says she does not remember. This is what Stella told her after the fact, that the EMT recognized her and said, oh, like, you're a famous person. Tell me what you know about P. Diddy. And that Tori started speaking and Stella had to be like, Mom, shut up. Even though Tori says, I don't know what I would have said because I don't know anything about him anyway. I'm like, that's what I was thinking, Tori. What the fuck do you know about P. Diddy? Aubrey O'Day, I'll give you. But Tori Spelling might be a bridge too far. I don't think you know anything, girl. She also says that her blood pressure went down to 77. Now, given the information that I've given you about her lack of consuming water and the passing out and the low blood pressure, it would maybe lead you down some conclusions. And we're going to get into that in a second. She also, update on storage units, she has until May 1st to get them back up to, what do you call it? When she's paid up, when she's not in default with her, oh Lord, oh my God, she got stitches. She got stitches for passing out. She said that the last time that she had stitches was when she got attacked by a parrot in the 90s. What? What's going on? She also claims that she never sweats. Doesn't smell, doesn't have a body odor, that the guys down at 90210 would always lift up her armpits and be like, look, she never sweats. Like, did Ian Ziering do that? I don't know. But that's what she says happened. But she does say that one way that she always knew that she was pregnant is that she would get a little bit sweaty under one armpit, just one armpit, the left one, and just a little bit of BO. Like clockwork, it would happen. She also claims to get sick when she drinks water and that she might be allergic to it. But then she also admits that it might be a weird control thing and a form of self-sabotage. But then she also keeps going and it's like, you know what? I do wonder, though, if I may have drowned in a past life. I was definitely poisoned. It was definitely poisoned, but I may have also drowned. And her friend chimes in and goes, I think it's probably just self-sabotage. And Tori goes, yeah, yeah. Then she also claims to have been one of the first, one of the first people to have H1N1. Like, of course you were. And how she was in the hospital for 10 days. People were coming in and out with hazmat suits, and it freaked her out because her only frame of reference for people wearing hazmat suits was, you guessed it, another Gwyneth Paltrow movie called Contagion. She says, so I had only seen Contagion, so I was like, whoa, what's happening? So it was super scary, and it was something nobody talked about. So my whole point is, yeah, I did Manjaro. What? Tori, what are you talking about? I'm going to end it with this. She says that she took Ozempic first. It didn't work, but Manjaro did take to her body very well. And her doctor told her, Ozempic is Woodland Hills and Manjaro is Beverly Hills. And I'm going to leave you with that. Something to think about. With that, we're going to move into the Summer House Martha's Vineyard recap.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're insane right now. You look nuts.
I don't care.
You should. Let her look foolish.
I'm ready to go home. Can we call an Uber?
I get it. No.
Wait, what happened? We missed a lot, I guess.
All right, let's get into Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. We're on day 6 of 16. And the tears just have not stopped, right? Jasmine's crying from last episode and now into the top of this one about how she's going through a lot right now. And she tells Bria, like, I'm sorry for making this about me, but excuse me for not thinking about you and Mariah. It's not on you. I just don't want to deal with shit. And I want people to be able to figure this out on their own. And Bria, I notice, she will come in real hot. And then as soon as you just, like, respond to her, she's like, I know, I get it. I, you know what? And I totally get you. She's, like, completely zen when. It's very funny to watch. But then Jasmine says in a confessional, I need my friends to be supportive of me. They can't flip-flop around. And on top of that, there are real, true dangers and worries that I have about Silas's deployment. He's got a set of days that he's supposed to be there, but they could extend it at any point. Obviously, that is going to be out of both of their control. I'm assuming Silas is not back, I don't think. I'm assuming that's what happened, which is, you know, that's real unfortunate. Gotta be stressful. Although I gotta say, I saw Jasmine on Watch What Happens Live, and she was telling Andy, like, oh, it's great. I'm going to the spa, I'm hanging out with my girls. And Andy's like, who's watching your child? And she's like, I have a great network of people. So, TBH, I think she might be okay. Meanwhile, Jordan and Amir are still back at the bar. They've gotten themselves... We've gone from 8 shots to 9 shots of green tea to now 9 extra large shots of green tea. It has been stressful. They have not come back to the table. Everybody's just crying and screaming and throwing up, right? Amir houses one of those extra large shots straight to the dome. Jordan, like, what the hell's going on, sir? Back at the table, Bria's like, I just don't feel comfortable. And Jasmine's, like, completely sarcastic. Like, okay, all right. Preston asks Bria, what would have happened if everyone in the house had said yes to Phil except for me? And Bria says, I never would have had him come because you talked to me personally and told me how you felt. But if Phil was to do what Mariah did to me to you, it would be a different story. And sadly, I do think it would be taken lightly in the house. So Preston says, sadly, I don't think so. Bria says, okay, well, that's your opinion. And then Bria asks Preston, who are you calling out right now? And Jasmine's like, he's not calling out anybody, right? And then Bria tells everybody, I had his best interest in mind. Nobody respects that. So, like, don't fucking fuck with me. I don't know how we ever get here. I never know. This house is like shoots and ladders in the best possible way. I'm always confused and I'm always just like, whoop. Like, my knees are up in the sky and my legs, and I'm on the ground and I don't know what's happening, but I'm having fun. So Preston says, girl, nobody's scared of you, so stop. So Priya's like, I don't want you to be scared of me, but don't play me with that fake ass shit. Preston tells her, please stop raising your voice. And now we're separating. Noelle's taking Bria by the hand away from the table. Preston's talking to Summer. And he's like, everybody feels the same way about her. Everything is fake. And Summer tells Preston, just stop raising your voice. And he's like, I'm not. She's a brat and we all know it. Nick is talking to Bria. And he's like, please, I really need you to lower your voice. We look insane right now. And she goes, well, I don't care. And he goes, well, you should. So Bria, it's time. Time to go home. Can we call an Uber? And then out comes Amir with the green tea shots. He's like Donald Glover from Community, walking in with the pizza. Just everything's on fire. He's like, wait, what happened? What's going on? We missed a lot, I guess, huh? So Bria's like, I just want to take a shot. Can we take a shot? Give me two. I'm tired of this bullshit. Two to the dome, and then we're off. We're back in the parking lot. Nick says in a confessional, this is crazy. I even left my salad. Terrible. And I gotta say, I had an incident last night that found I was so annoyed. I went to dinner with Kelly Williams of the lovely Kelly Williams of Beyond the Blinds and Laguna Beach, and we got a salad, as you're wont to do, split a little green, and I'm like nibbling on this kale Caesar, and I'm just like, I want to finish it, you know, and I'm gonna take the rest of my pasta home. And the guy's like, do you want me to take that? Now, he's like monitoring me. And I'm like, well, at this point, now I feel guilty for eating a salad too long. And so just take it back, because I think this means more to you than it does to me at this point. But damn, I really wanted that salad. It was very good. So now we're all loading up in the cars. And Preston, it's like two cars, right? Preston says in one car, Bria, in my opinion, she's impossible. Like, it's just like her hurt has to be worse than everybody else's. Meanwhile, she's in her car crying. And she's like, that's why I'm yelling, because I'm hurt. So Shanice is in the back of the car. She's like, I want to cry right now. I have a lot going on. Nobody ever pays attention to poor Shanice. She's like, I'm hurting too. And they're like, poor thing. And then she's like, I'm going to bed. Now, you know that the vibes are off when Shanice doesn't want to go home, put on a little thong bikini, and twerk until she passes out. Like, this, it's bad. It's real bad. And then somehow she hurts her foot on the way out of the car. Like, I'm not really even sure. She just started screaming and, like, fell back. I'm not really sure. At some point, she procured crutches. I don't know how that happened either. You know what I mean? Like, shoots and ladders. So, Bria has been wearing Alex's hat this whole time. It says Sayonara on it. I'm guessing this is, like, a brand of his. And she tells him, you know, I'm really sorry that I couldn't live up to that. And she gives him the hat back. And Alex goes, you know what would have been cool? If you were just like, sayonara. That's right. That would have been cool. That would have been cool. And then Bria kind of accuses Alex and Amir of not supporting her when Jasmine told her she was hurt. And Alex is like, okay, but Jasmine is also allowed to feel hurt. And she's like, oh my God, Alex, I fucking hate you right now. Like, I'm going to be quiet for you guys, okay? And I want to see if you guys speak up. And if you don't, I'm leaving because of you guys. I love her. Like, make no mistake, she's a fucking nightmare. But television-wise, I'm sad, okay? So Noelle calls after Bria, and Amir and Alex are both like, don't do it, okay? And Amir's like, this happens every time she gets drunk. Like, we're all disengaging. Milo is upstairs fucking the club up, okay? He's gotten into a bag. He's ripping up all her makeup by Mario. He is turned. And at this point, I'm wondering, I think Milo might have the shining. Because every time Bria and Milo are separated and she's somewhere on the vineyard pissed off, he's somewhere else shitting and like getting upset. I think he feels her. Now, y'all were like, oh, that's not her emotional support dog. And I think it is, but maybe not in the way that we think. I think Milo has the shining. Now, this doesn't really seem to be productive, but I'm happy that Milo's there. He was using that toilet paper roll like a damn punching bag. That really gagged me. Anyway, while Shanice is, like, peeing with the door open, Jasmine's talking to her. They're having a little heart-to-heart. to urine. And she's like, you know, I just want to acknowledge that I did contribute to a very traumatizing experience. And I'm sorry for that. And Shanice is like, totally get it. I'm done peeing. I appreciate your apology. And then she's like, you know, I had to pay $5,000 to fight this case. And I just got fired from my job. So I had to take a loan for that. And it's a lot. And I moved. And I'm going through real life stuff. And so Jasmine's like crying. She's not crying. Shanice is crying. Jasmine's holding her. Woo, woo, woo. Are you okay? Like, she's mothering. She's mothering. So Bria goes back downstairs. And Nick is like, why did you just blank out on me when you went upstairs? Like, you just freaked out for no reason. All I said to you was, hey, Milo's upstairs crying for you. And Bria says, oh, well, I thought you told me, hey, ho, Milo's crying. So in a flashback, we see her going up the stairs like, I don't care, fucking drag queen, ho, whatever the fuck I am. She's having a fight. Nick doesn't even know what's happening, okay? He's still missing his salad. So Bria's like, are you mad? He's like, no, I'm confused. And Bria says, well, me too. I'm confused about a lot of things going on in this house. So at this point, Summer comes downstairs. And Bria's like, she says to Bria, are you you right now? Because I love you. And you're the most fun and calm, great person in the house. But Bria's like, but when people come for me, I'm going to freak out. Are you you right now? I'm stealing that. So Nick says, okay, well, I'm going to let you guys have your privacy. And Bria says, sit the fuck down. Because you're not present to a lot of shit that goes on. But Bria's like, but you guys live upstairs, you know? And she's like, well, guess what? Who cares? Come in my room. Take a nap with me. And Nick is like, what the hell's going on? What? And she says, you've never had sleep support? And Nick says, no. And Summer says, well, I've had sleep and I've been supported. And so Nick says in a confessional, what? How did we go from me getting cursed out to come into bed and take a nap with me? So Bria then turns to Alex. And she's like, are you down for sleep support? And now Shanice is like, what the fuck is that? Bria says, it's when people sleep with you and they give you emotional support. And Alex is like, well, that sounds like some freaky shit. I'm sure it does to you. Sleeping in bed with a woman and being emotionally vulnerable. Like the freakiest thing that you could possibly do, Alex. So then Bria asks Alex and Nick, if I were to call you guys to come over for some sleep support, like, what would happen? And they're like, I'm going to have to say no to that. I've got a girlfriend. I can't be anybody's sleep support. And Bria's like, it's not like that, though. So Nick turns to Bria and says, okay, so somebody knocks on the door. Simon answers the door and he's like, sir, who are you? And I'm like, I'm sleep support. Sleep support's leaving with two black eyes. And they're like, exactly, right? So everybody goes to bed separately. The next morning, Shanice tells Bria she's still traumatized. And we see last night what we did not see, unseen footage, where she's at the table telling Alex, I hate you. My family hates you. My mom, Carla with a K, hates you. So she tells Alex, you know, I'm really sorry for saying, you know, I hate you. And he's like, yeah, cool. So the plan is for them to do a basketball event. And Jasmine tells Bria, here, Mariah's not going to be staying at the house, but she will be at an event. And she says in a confessional, at the end of the day, I had a going away party for, you know, Sergeant Marriage, and Bria showed up. So that means something. So to be a friend to her, I have to respect how she's feeling. And this is like totally selfish of me, but I wish that we had gotten one season of Jasmine pre-baby without Sergeant Marriage, because I think that would have like really put a little like an extra bottle of Old Bay in the situation. You know what I mean? But you know, a baby is a blessing. Got her. God bless. So anyway, they get to the court. Alex, of course, is like, yeah, I got game. You know, I got high school All-State honorable mention. Shanice apparently played all through high school and college. You wouldn't be able to tell. She's brick. I think that's the term. Nick is in one of his like brightly colored, spikely, do the right thing biker shorts outfits, and he sucks. And he's like, you know what? I'm not even gonna cap. It's not my ministry. So we break out into two teams, right? Bria and Preston decide to sit on the sidelines. They have a little chat while everybody's playing, hooping, if you will. And Preston tells her, I know everybody has a lot going on, but I don't want you to think that I'm not appreciative of you, like, letting me know about Phil coming. Bria tells him, you're entitled to your feelings, but, like, I just wish you guys could talk it over FaceTime. And Preston says, I'm actually fine to do that. But he says in a confessional, I'm hoping to hear him out. I just hope he doesn't expect anything. And then he tells Bria, like, we're good. You know, listen, sometimes I do think you're a brat, but, like, you're my little sister in that way. And Bria's like, I love you. I ride for you. They hug. Somehow during the game, Shanice rolled her ankle and Noelle ended up running to the bathroom to puke. So we're done, I think. We're done. Everybody goes out except for Noelle and Shanice because they're just, like, infirmed. And then we get to the club and Bria shows up with Milo and the security guard's like, real cute dog, can't let you in. And then Bria says, real clubs let me in. So she ends up having to sit in the car. So she says in a confessional, Milo and I have been to clubs worldwide. Germany, South of France, Spain. What's the problem? Milo. Poor little Milo sitting in that car. So she FaceTimes Simon and he's like talking about how he's in the apartment and it's not the same without her, right? But then Bria says in a confessional, it's been like a month since they've seen each other. Simon doesn't have a lot of friends in Germany. So when he's gone, her presence is very much felt. Is Simon German? What's going on? Because I thought from last season, he sounds like somebody pretending to be German. It's like a European with a German accent. But I'm not sure what the origin, what the country of origin is before that. Why doesn't he have friends? Why doesn't he have, like, family? What's going on? What's going on? And then she says, if he's having a bad day at work and I'm not there to cook because I cook and clean for him, it causes a lot of arguments in our relationship, which is a huge red flag for me. Big red flag. Especially given the racial dynamic of the relationship, like you being like, he gets pissed off if I'm not cooking and cleaning for him and he's had a long day. Doing what? Watch deals? Like, what is so stressful over at, like, Timex, Bulova, Rolex? What's going on? And, like, I'm genuinely thinking about it. How would your life as a watch dealer be stressful? Like, no shade. I'm literally curious. Like, how do you even have regular hours? Like, it just seems like you would have clients and you just work when the magic happens and when somebody wants to look down at their wrist. Like, what? You know what I mean? The next morning, Amir's out. He's making some hash browns, making a cowboy breakfast because they're going to have a rootin' tootin' good old Texas rodeo day. So while they're getting ready, I'm curious about Preston's underwear situation. I want to know because it was just like a full cheeks out situation, like Prince, like early 90s Prince. But it seemed like a better alternative to a thong because you still have the leg, but there's no strip in the middle to, like, give you a wedgie. So why don't women have that? Do we have that? What is that? What was I looking at? I have questions. So then Preston tells Bria, I'm willing to talk to Phil now, right? So they go outside, and he says, last summer, just, like, Phil was a lot, right? And it just seems like I need to hear him out because I can't expect people to change if I'm not even willing to hear what they're saying, right? So Bria tells him, like, I got Preston on the line, and Phil's like, you know, man, I was just, like, drunk last time that I met y'all, and that's not an excuse for my behavior, for real, but it is an explanation. So Preston says, okay, so when you were in the house, you were real amped. And for some people, that's nothing, and it's lighthearted, but for me, I can't deny how I felt in that moment. And in a confessional, Preston says, calling somebody soft or zesty or sus, like, just that language I've heard for so long, and as somebody who has experienced bullying, it's triggering. And I just encourage people to be more careful with their words because, you know, the whole thing about sticks and stones, that was all a lie. So Phil says, my intention was never to hurt anybody, but, like, I don't have any justification. That wasn't me. And he says, I've been to therapy for the last year and a half. Which one is it? But, you know, I'm coming to you to genuinely apologize. And Preston says, I appreciate that. I accept your apology 100%. And then Phil says, you know what? I appreciate that. And also, if you could get a chance to talk to the rest of the guys, because, like, I haven't talked to Alex yet. And he said I wasn't a comedian. And honestly, that was, like, the one thing that really hurt me, because I actually am a comedian. Like, that's how I make my money. And Preston says, did you make a lot of it?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
I completely forgot that that man was allegedly a comedian. Dark stuff. What? I didn't even dream of letting out a chuckle at that man's behavior. And also, like, maybe I'm just a hard bitch. Y'all can let me know. But don't apologize to me and then be like, and by the way, can you do my heavy lifting of, like, making sure that everybody else who's mad at me knows that that we're good? And that, like, I also apologize to them because I don't feel like it. Like, I just feel like I got the big fish. And, like, can you just, like, finish it up for me? Thanks. I really find that annoying. And also, credit where credit's due. You know, I don't give Alex much, but he did eat that one little thing. He did. So they show up to this barn farm situation. Everybody gets this cowboy effect, you know, that sepia tone with the Vineyard 10. Like, cowboy, like, yeehaw, right? Honestly, I don't know what most of them are doing, but I'm guessing when they get there, what they would describe their actions where would be boot scooting. They're just boot scooting. My dearest friend, you know, for every black woman, there is a ginger that she loves dearly. And my great friend Catherine has a move that we've been calling since probably at least sixth grade. Something that she does called kitty in the kitty litter, where it's just like a, like, swift movements backwards and all about, much like a cat in the kitty litter. And that's kind of what it was giving for me, especially when the dust was kicking up. You know, it was giving. Amir, when he admits that he had the choice between football and being a horse girl, and he went full horse girl, it really, really painted a picture for me, you know? It really did. Jordan, we learned last season, right? She's like an English writer. This is Western. This ain't Texas, okay? Ain't no hold'em. Different writing. Cool, just the same. Shanice is off because she has to make a phone call about this job she wants. So Amir takes everybody out to, like, do these, like, little sack races sort of thing. Preston on that bouncy ball, just screaming, my ankle, my ankle. Amir and Nick have to bob for apples. Amir comes out of the water like the wettest, I was going to say proud boy. He was proud of himself, I will say that, and he was a boy. On the ride home, Jasmine sends a group chat to everybody. Real slick. She's a slick willy, and, like, y'all don't let her, y'all give her passes. And I will say, like, it's mostly harmless. It's not sinister, but she is slick, I will say that. So she sends a group chat to everybody saying, I have a guest coming for a chill dinner. And Bria says in a confessional, if this is Mariah and Jasmine's pulling a fast one on me, that bitch is the ops. So they're going to be having after dinner Apollo night. A talent show. Okay. Talent show. We'll just keep it at that. And everybody's, like, getting ready for it, right? Shanice has the crutches, like I said. Amir has this very weird moment where he was passed out at first, the long day of bobbing apples and riding horses for him. But he wakes up and calls his girlfriend. He's just chilling on the couch. The conversation is dry as fuck. She's looking at him on the FaceTime like, I could be doing anything else. Like, not even annoyed. Like, I don't even want to be here. So he's just like, just trying to talk to you. And she goes, oh, well, you can go. And he says, well, I'm not. I just haven't gotten to, like, talk to you and see your face much today. And she goes, that's fine. Amira says in a confessional, this is Natalie 101. She's not going to tell me how she feels, but it's up to me to pick up the little cues that let me know how she feels. Like, I don't think she's dropping little hints. I think she's throwing a fucking bowling ball right in your face. Like, it is very clear. Having to live up to these 2.5 weeks on the phone, like, it's getting to both of us. Okay, well, it shouldn't. And also, you're saying this is Natalie 101, which sounds like when you're home, it ain't shit any different. So, is she okay? Are they still together? Also, I'm willing to, like, live in a world in which Amir is, like, pissing her off and then getting her on the phone, and we're not getting any explanation as to why, but it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable, I will say that. The girls go off to the pool. They're talking about food and, like, the food they're going to eat. And Bria says, well, can we just make sure that all the food is separate? Because I have food restrictions. So they look at her like, girl, what are your food restrictions? And she says, I can't eat egg. I'm allergic to Tylenol. And so Summer goes, well, can you have dick? And she goes, no, I can have dick. So then Bria asks Noelle and Summer, how are y'all doing with the Alex stuff? We're stirring the pot here, right? And Noelle says, well, I just didn't understand that y'all had past dealings. And Summer says, I thought you did. I thought you understood what we had. Bria then mentions, but didn't you guys have lunch before coming to the house? Like, why didn't you, Summer, just say to her, I had slept with this one person in the house? And Summer says, I didn't know if she liked him or not because she had never even met him. And I think what happened was maybe just a miscommunication because I wanted to make you look dumb. So I should have said, yes, he's been inside me and I've made him come, I don't know how many times, right? Even Janice is looking in the hot tub like, damn, girl. So then Summer gets upset and is like, fuck me. So Noelle says, I'm not saying that, but Summer's just walking away. Noelle says in a confessional, this is the first time I'm seeing this side of Summer, and I know that everybody handles conflict differently, but when someone's hurting inside, they're quick to lash out, but slow to listen. And it's tough supporting a friend when you don't know what they're going through. I think she's completely correct, but I also think, to me, what Summer's going through is completely obvious. She should be annoyed with Bria for trying to facilitate this conversation that really doesn't need to be happening. Because what I feel like, I'm feeling like I'm waving the flag for Summer. Because what's happening to me is, she had her little situationship with Alex that ended. I think she genuinely is over it. But I see people saying, like, every time she says, like, oh, he came inside of me, and, like, we jerking and fucking and sucking, that it's a symbol of her feeling some type of way or having more feelings for him than she's willing to admit. And I don't think it's that case. I think she's like, why are we talking about this again? I said to her before we came into the house, we had a thing, whatever her terminology was. To me, I feel like where I'm like, I disagree with Noelle, as she said in that confessional a couple episodes ago, well, because I wouldn't hook up with somebody like, I think maybe Summer said we hung out, right? I hung out with Alex. Hanging out to me, according to Noelle, does not mean sex. But this is where you mess up, because just because it doesn't mean that to you doesn't mean that it means something. You know, like, it is a miscommunication. Personally, if somebody told me, oh, I was hanging out with this guy, it's like guilty until proven innocent. I'm thinking you guys are fucking unless you tell me otherwise, that you have fucked, unless you explain, we didn't have sex or anything like that. Like, we didn't hook up. Like, yeah, we hung out, but it wasn't that big a deal. I'm still assuming that y'all fuck, you know? But then the thing is, to me, now Noelle has had this information. She still had feelings for Alex and decided to pursue him, and he turned her down. And so at this point, there's really no point in, like, what Summer's responsibility is, because Noelle wasn't so upset about them fucking for her to not shoot her shot. Alex has given her the answer. And so now this whole thing is a moot point, right? Because he's not interested in her. They're not going anywhere. So, you know, like, would it, and I agree, like, if Noelle didn't know Alex at all. And she's just like, oh, he's cute. And she doesn't really know Summer that well. And also, didn't Summer meet her when she was, like, having a sneaky link with her roommate? So she had to have known that that situation with Alex wasn't that deep if her roommate's been inside her. So I don't... I'm seeing why she's getting pissed off. Would I personally get this angry? No, but I do see, like, this is dumb. Like, we don't need to do this. But yeah, I ultimately feel like they're putting more responsibility on Summer, excuse me, for this than is necessary. Like, I feel like we're belaboring a point. So Noelle goes inside and she tells Jasmine, like, I hate that this happens because I feel bad that Summer feels like she's being attacked. And Jasmine says, well, we know how Summer is. Like, she's always going to feel like people are saying that she fucked up. So Noelle says, well, that's not what I was trying to say. I just feel like it might feel like she was being ganged up on, and that was never my intention. Now, Amir, if we just pan the camera over, is in the kitchen eating a big-ass sandwich, and they're just staring at him. Like, what are you doing? And he goes, sorry, I'm just in the audience. What's going on? So Summer comes back down, and Noelle's like, okay, girl, like, let's go talk. So Noelle apologizes for the attack, and she's like, I appreciate it. I just got up because I was irritated as fuck. With Bria, there's just no changing her mind about things. And Noelle says, well, I'm glad you walked away because some people would be like, you know what? Let's talk about it. Bam. Punch. Right? And Summer's like, listen, sometimes when Bria says, don't come for me, I'm just like, I'm about to because you're pissing me off. And so now I'm about to. And I think given the preview, maybe next week she does. So everybody sits down for dinner and Jasmine announces this empty chair is for our guest, right? So she stands up and says, you guys have been there for me this summer. And with that being said, not going to lie, I'm a little bit nervous. Our guest has already been here. Amir, why does he look under the kitchen table, sir? Alex is whispering, I already know what's going on. So she's like, I wouldn't like to announce I'm pregnant. The bump just boom, comes bumping out. And she's like, oh, I've been so tired of holding that in. So they're all like cheersing. She tells them it's a boy. I'm in my second trimester. And Alex is like, you know what? I knew because you're wearing blue and there's blue candles on the table. I knew it. So Jasmine says, oh, I'm just so tired of sucking it. So she turns to the side and she shows them like, okay, this is what I am. And this is what y'all have been seeing. And they were like, whoa, have you been doing that the whole day? She's like, look, y'all don't really pay that much attention. So then she sits down and is like, but did anybody know? Like, was there anything that gave it away? Bria goes, the tits. So Alex says in a confessional, yeah, mocktail this, mocktail that. Like, even Mr. Mocktail knew. Even water knew. Summer says, have you seen those titties? And then Shanice goes, I knew by her boobs. And Mira goes, am I the only one who didn't pick up on it? Damn. That's unfortunate. So she tells everybody that he's due in February. And like Silas cried. She told him before he left. And that was like a great moment for them. So Amir asks, well, is Silas going to be able to get released for the birth? And she says, no, they actually have to have like proof of baby and send a picture to Army. And only then is he allowed to come back, which is wild because I think even if you're like in prison, they let you out, do they? I think in some circumstances they might. You know, why was Jordan in this confessional saying, I'm sad Silas can't be there for the birth because it's Jasmine's first baby and his... Well, I'm assuming it's both of their first pregnancy experiences. I'm not trying to be messy. I'm just saying. So then everybody gathers around. Beautiful moment. They're gathering around Jasmine, covering her in prayer. And Noelle's like praying for the boy, the husband, the future generations to come, Jasmine. Everybody's getting lifted up in prayer right now, okay? In a confessional, Jasmine says, never would I have in a million years thought that I would be going through this pregnancy and giving birth without my partner. So it's hard for me to, like, basically, like, I'm not even letting my body process the fact that he's not here so that my body doesn't feel that. My son doesn't feel that. So then everybody goes to practice for Apollo night. Amir says that his talent is going to be poetry, which he has actually not done since third grade. So in a confessional, he gives us one of his great works, maybe his newest one. Roses are red, violets are blue. I like you. Can you come to school? Bars. Wow. Shanice comes out in a wig that is so pushed far down to her brows. Like, even Teresa Giudice would be like, girl, get some laser. She comes with glasses, one cowboy boot on. And Amir says, you know you don't get points for being weird, right? So Preston's going to be judging. They give him a little lower third that says Preston Cowell. And he says, I'm qualified because I'm honest, I'm fair, and I'm shady. So we're introduced to a latest girl group called the Meows, featuring Shanice, Noelle, and Summer. And if you guys don't know, if you're not familiar with Apollo tradition, there's a man called the Sandman who would come out during like the talent show portion. And if people didn't like him, and like, yeah, you could boo. You could get a good boo going if you were in the audience. And the Sandman would come out with a cane and he would just like yank people off. Yank people off. God, I love black people. So they gave Preston the Sandman chain, a cane, and he's trying to hook him off the stage immediately. No, the girls is just like meowing, meow, 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 meow. I'm not gonna do it. Jasmine's like, what is happening? Am I in the Twilight Zone? Preston's got a microphone, and he goes, "What I hated about it was most of it." And I'm just really grateful for it to be done. Jordan and Nick do a little clothing swap, but everybody's like, Nick, why did Jordan's pants fit you? He's coming out in a crop top and a bucket hat and one of her wings. I don't even know what their talent was other than dressing like each other. So Preston's like, who's next? Okay. Jasmine, what was his rap? Because it sounded familiar. And I don't think Jasmine herself has actually gone to Persian school. So what song was that? What movie was that from? Alex, you know, he's got to live up to the legend, no pun intended, of his family. And he does a song about flying. I don't know. Walking on cloud nine, were you, Alex? Let me know. So Preston says, are you nervous? You should be. I appreciated the time that you spent performing. Bye. Bria does a little yoga performance with Milo, and then she has to run to the bathroom in the middle of it because she says she threw up in her mouth a little bit, and Preston says, I did too, as she runs away. And then he goes, clearly Milo is the star, and you know what? He was honest. He was true about that. So then we get Amir's latest work of poetry. Summer house or summer share, more like some will share. Share the truth behind how hard this past year has been and has changed them for the better, because the truth is, we never knew it could get this good. We got as close to the sun as we could, and then the seasons changed for us to come back to reality and construct a new fantasy. But now this is my chosen family. So Preston says, Amir, that was very vulnerable and warm, and I also love ChatGPT. So Preston, everybody lines up in front of him, and he thanks everybody for sharing their hidden talents and things that he wished had stayed hidden, and announces Amir as the winner. Everybody's pissed. Everybody's pissed on behalf of the Meows. Okay, like Jasmine's pissed. What's going on? How are we going to be giving top-tier talent nothing and giving it to the ChatGPT poet? What's going on here? And that was basically the end of the episode. I do think that we need more people, not in the house, but we need more people coming in. And I don't mean like drips and drabs, like two people and then one person. I mean, like, we need to have parties like over in the Hamptons. I'm going to need more people here, because at this point it's giving like a little pandemic, and that's only fun for so long, you know? I actually don't think that was fun at all, so. I actually think parts of it were fine for me, to be honest with you, but that's another conversation for another day. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for speaking. Love you. Bye.